Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on April 4th. Coming up today, we've got plenty of crime news from across the county. We'll also hear from the Gillingham goalkeeper after he reached an amazing milestone for the club. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a Thanet mum says she's being driven mad by fleas and mice in her new council home. Lucy Day was moved into the property in Margate 7 weeks ago, but claims she can only live in one room due to the pests.
We are living out of my daughter's room. I've had fleas, bites, I've been put in A&E, had to go on medicine. I've had mice, which the council have treated 3 times, and they've come back.
And what are they doing now about this? Because they come out 3 times. Do they need to come back again?
They do need to come back again. They've told me I must pay for it because they've done their bit of funding.
And what, have they told you why they need to come back again? I mean, have you seen mice? Have you seen fleas again?
I've seen mice. Wednesday they come out and done their last treatment, took all the boxes away. Friday at 1:30 in the morning, I could hear them running around the skirting boards, and they've actually burrowed out of the skirting boards in my daughter's room upstairs, and that's like the heart of the house.
So you can see where they're coming through.
Yeah, you can actually see where they're coming through.
Now tell us, you had to go to hospital because of this. What actually happened and what did the doctor say, and what treatment have you been given?
I got put on a steroid-based tablet for 6 days, 6 tablets. I got put on another medication that I have to take overnight because it actually makes you drowsy. I had allergic reaction to the flea bites. I swelled up and everything from the flea bites.
You've only been here 7 weeks. Were the fleas already here when you came in?
The fleas were here, yeah.
How do you feel about all of this?
I'm quite disgusted because considering they've moved me here as a management move, and it's supposed to be a fresh start for me and my daughter, and this is not a fresh start with living with fleas and mice just running around everywhere, and there's actually rats outside now as well.
What do you think about the council, how they've treated you?
I think it's quite appalling that they can treat people like that, and obviously I know they only get a certain amount of funding to treat places, but I don't see how tenants like me are liable when we've only been here 7 weeks. I haven't even bought a sofa for my living room.
And how are you living at the moment? Because you've got your stuff all piled up on the sofa. I know I've got my bag down there. Maybe I need to lift it up.
I'm literally living out of my daughter's room, and we make our food on an air fryer. I haven't even plumbed my cooker in. I try to stay out as much as I can during the day and only come here overnight.
Footage at Kent Online shows a mouse getting into a room through a gap in the skirting. The council say they haven't found any proof of pests during 3 visits, and residents are responsible for getting rid of infestations.
Kent Online News.
Police officers and staff are being urged to have their say on recruitment, vetting and culture as part of the Sarah Everard inquiry. She was kidnapped and murdered by serving Met Police Officer Wayne Cousins from Deal in 2021. Reviews found he should never have been given a job. The chair's inquiry, Dame Elish Angelini, has previously called for radical reforms.
Now is the time for change. Without a significant overhaul, there is nothing to stop another Wayne Cousins operating in plain sight.
12 suspected members of a drug dealing network have been arrested during police raids in Kent. Officers searched properties in Ramsgate, Broadstairs, Birchington and Canterbury. Homes in Croydon and Surrey were also visited. What's thought to be cocaine and ketamine has been seized. The death of a man when a digger overturned in Snodland has been ruled a tragic accident. Richard Luck from Mepham had been working at a farm when it happened in September last year. An inquest heard there was no issues with the vehicle he'd been driving. A Chatham dad has avoided jail after he flashed a knife and chased away a machete-wielding youth from his friend's home in Strood. Kayodero was passed the weapon after the group arrived on the doorstep of the property in Bingham Road last September. The 21-year-old, who lives in Salisbury Road, was charged with possessing a knife in public. He was handed a 2-year suspended sentence and must do unpaid work in rehab. A teenager suspected of stealing fuel in Edenbridge has been arrested following a police chase. Officers were called to reports of a suspicious vehicle on station approach last Thursday morning. It eventually came to stop on Smith's Lane in Crockham Hill. An 18-year-old from Hertfordshire has been questioned. A Faversham man has been arrested following reports of a break-in. Police were called to an address in Faversham Lakes in the early hours of last Thursday. A silver racing bike, food and alcohol are believed to have been taken. A 32-year-old has been charged and will remain in custody ahead of a hearing later this month. An investigation to find the bike is ongoing. A man's been taken to hospital with head injuries following an attack in Maidstone. phone. Police were called to Square Hill Road yesterday lunchtime, with forensic vans also spotted at the scene. We're told an investigation is ongoing. So far, no one's been arrested. A mum of five from Swanley who attacked another woman for parking too close to her at a supermarket has avoided jail. Chantel Proud claims she was racially abused at the Aldi in St Mary's Road before she struck her victim with a wheel wrench. The 40-year-old, who lives in Hinksey Park in Abbeywood, received a suspended sentence. She must do unpaid work and rehab and pay more than £200. Investigations are underway after a cat was shot with an air weapon in West Morling. Darcy the ragdoll had to be put down after he was hit with 3 pellets and left paralysed last month. It thought he'd been shot with some sort of slingshot or BB gun. His owners have posted on social media warning others of the danger.
Kent Online News.
One of Medway's MPs has raised concerns about the hospital trust serving the towns getting a part-time chief executive. Jonathan Wade has taken over the role, but will also stay on as the boss of Dartford and Gravesham, which oversees 3 hospitals, including Darren Valley. Gillingham and Raynham's Nashaba Khan is worried.
So I was made aware of the interim agreement last week that was going to take place at Medway Maritime, where there'll be a shared chief executive between Medway Maritime and also Darren Valley. I think my initial concerns are that while I understand there's lots of reasons why that might be something that the trust wants to take forward, there's lots of cases across the country where that works really, really well, and there are joint leadership programs in place and sort of joint leadership models in place in lots of areas, including the NHS. So it's not so much that it's something that cannot work, but I just have some immediate concerns, particularly given some of the big challenges that we face at Medway Maritime. You may have seen recently there was an inspection report that came through which looked at the A&E department. Now, obviously, that report followed an inspection which took place in February last year. So a lot of changes have been put in place since then. But one of the key things that did come out of that report was there was a sense that there was a culture within the organisation where people didn't feel that they could raise concerns for leadership. And that's something that I think really does need to be addressed. And I think that's something that really needs to start with the leadership of the organisation. And I appreciate lots has been done since then to make those changes already. So progress is already happening. But I would be really keen to see how a model where we've got a shared chief executive works, what that means for Medway Maritime, what that means for some of the challenges that were highlighted within that report on the A&E department, and also what that means for the culture of the organisation, which perhaps needs a bit of a review as well. So it's just a few of those concerns that I wanted to raise.
My understanding is this is it for 6 months? Correct me if I'm wrong. This is going to be a 6-month agreement, but do you think really that 6 months is too long and you'd prefer to have someone within the hospital before then?
So it's a short-term agreement, but the idea is that after that period, a report will be written, which will look at whether it could be made a more longer-term option. And I think for me, it's just about ensuring that whilst I recognise in the interim, and it is, you know, there are challenges around finding leadership within the NHS, particularly around chief executives. So I recognise why a short-term agreement might be in place, and I do understand how that can help, and it's better to have somebody there than nobody at all, is my view. But certainly if there are plans to make this longer term, I would like to be able to first of all understand how the trust has assessed that, what impact this has had and what it's meant for both Medway Hospital but also Darren Valley, and also if this is a long-term arrangement, what that looks like on paper but also in practice, and what that means in terms of the future of Medway. So I'm not against us doing this for a short-term basis and seeing what how it potentially works and if it can help address some of the challenges that the hospital faces. And if it can, that's brilliant. But if it is to be made into a longer term arrangement, then I think we just need to be able to see the evidence base that ensures that makes sense. And I just don't want to be putting us at any unnecessary risk in the future.
A recent report highlighted concerns with A&E departments at Medway Maritime Hospital. The new appointment is a 6-month trial, and we're told it'll allow closer collaboration. Figures seen by the podcast have revealed a drop in the number of vehicle thefts in West Kent. 342 2,232 were taken in 12 months to February 2024. That had fallen to 266 in the year to this February, so down 22%. Maidstone, Tunbridge and Morling have also seen reductions. Angry tenants of a shopping centre marked for demolition in Ashford say a four-month extension on their eviction date isn't fair. Traders now have until the 9th of January to move out of Park Mall, but they say that's still not long enough for them to find new premises. The local authorities say they are offering individual businesses relocation support and financial help. A new incentive has been offered to rail companies that want to run international trains stopping in Kent. Eurostar Services haven't called at Ashford or Ebbsfleet stations since COVID, but now Virgin Group are considering operating through the Channel Tunnel. London St Pancras High Speed is offering discounts of up to 50% to help boost rail travel to Europe.
Kent Online News.
Police are searching for a rare cast iron post box that's been stolen near Edenbridge. It dates back to the reign of King Edward VII and was taken from Spout Lane in Crockham Hill overnight last week. Officers say the theft caused considerable damage to a stone wall. They want to hear from anyone with CCTV or dashcam footage. A decision on plans for 1,000 new homes on the outskirts of Ashford have been taken out of the council's hands after they took 6 years to make up their minds. Bosses wanted the Court Lodge estate in Kings North to be scrapped because of a lack of detail. Developers launched an appeal and now the government's planning inspectorate will have the final say at an inquiry this summer. Developers have applied to increase the size of a new estate being built in Raynham. Bellway Homes already has planning permission for 66 homes on the land off the A2. They want to add another 12. It's currently being considered by Medway Council. Now, a woman from Medway who suffered a mini stroke when she was just 21 is taking on a running challenge to raise money for charity. In 2022, Ellen Clout started experiencing vision problems in her left eye before having other symptoms like numbness and tingling down her left side. The Strood personal trainer is now back to work, but told us it's been a grueling experience.
I have to say, it definitely changed my perspective of life. I'm quite fit. Like, I play hockey, I run, I do the gym, I PT, and like I even do calisthenics. And I just thought there's like no, I mean, probably is the other end of it where I might have been doing too much. But at the same time, I'm quite a fit person and I didn't expect it to happen to me. And then to obviously find that out about my heart, I was like, well, you know, there's a reason. But I try to keep positive, and obviously when you feel like you're, oh, I don't know, let me restart that sentence. I try to keep positive and kind of like see every day as valuable now, because in less way possible, I don't actually know when my last day is, and that felt like it was going to happen in that such a short amount of time. So that's what I try to do now anyway.
And tell me a bit about the running challenge that you're doing.
Okay, so I'm doing the London Landmarks half. So half marathon, 21 miles, is it? I don't know. No, 12 miles. I don't know. I'll just run it. I've been doing my training anyway. I've done a 10-mile run at the moment. But yeah, I've got the half marathon coming up on the weekend, literally this Sunday. There's a few reasons why I did it. It's one, I kind of wanted just to prove to myself that I can do hard things. Like all of that struggle, and it was really hard. Like I don't want to get emotional, but that point in my life was really hard, and I'm really glad that I had like the support system around me. But obviously it made it more difficult going forward, because I was like, I don't know how hard to push myself. Like, my job is my life. Like, I love my clients and my coaching, and I just wanted to be like, you can do hard things. So for me, the thing that I was worst at was like my cardiovascular health. So I was like, do you know what, I'm just gonna go all in on the running and prove to myself that I can like run a decent distance. So yeah, one, just to prove to myself I can do hard things, and then like raise awareness. So like, I would never want like my worst enemy to go through what I went through, because you know, it's one thing to have a mini stroke and then another thing to have heart surgery at like 23. It was a lot. I'm excited, and I want to just prove to myself that I can do something that's worthwhile, and also for a really nice charity. So I'm doing it for the British Heart Foundation, I mean, for obvious reasons. And so far I think I've raised like nearly £750, so I'm really happy with that, which is all shout out to my clients and family and friends.
She's taking on the London Landmarks half marathon this weekend to raise money and awareness.
Kent Online News.
Kent Olympian Dame Kelly Holmes has launched a campaign encouraging people to hold a street party for the 80th anniversary of VE Day. The event's being marked over the spring bank holiday. Victory in Europe was declared on May the 5th, 1945, which was the beginning of the end of World War II. Canterbury's Step Into Spring Festival officially kicks off today. It's a series of guided walks around the city centre and the local countryside, as well as a programme of talks from authors and broadcasters. It's on until next Monday. And the Pride in Medway Awards are taking place tonight to celebrate the local people who go above and beyond for their community. The scheme recognises the individuals, businesses and organisations that make a difference across the towns. Some of the categories include Volunteer of the Year, School Community Awards and Outstanding Fundraiser.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a trip to Salford City for Gillingham this weekend. They've gone four games unbeaten but are still 19th in League Two. Tuesday night's match ended up in a 1-1 draw. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth.
They're going to be watching us. We'll be watching them doing some analysis, and yeah, it could be cagey as well for both teams. I'm sure both teams want to win the game. We definitely do. And as you say, you know, Carl's done a great job there this season. There was a lot of pressure on him going in and taking the job last year. It hasn't quite clicked, you know, like people thought it would with all the Man United connections, and yeah, they're probably finding out how tough it is to be in the professional leagues, you know. So they've had a good season. They've got some good players. We've got to be at it tomorrow, tomorrow and Saturday, because we know what we can do. We've got to earn the right to play. But hopefully, I'll see some more of what I saw the other night. And you know, I was really impressed with the Tuesday night affair. And yeah, we're going there to win. As I say, I don't know how to draw or lose games, and never go out to do that. We're going to go and hopefully bring some points home from Salford.
It's fair to say you've got the same squad available as of Tuesday. I think Armani Little is at least
eligible. Yeah, Armani's suspension's up now, which is great. You know, he's an experienced player in the team and adds a bit of a calmness, a bit of leadership for us, you know, so he's great. Bradley's not far away now, you know, had a little issue and I think he's getting over that now. And yeah, as you say, it's no knocks from Tuesday, which was really good. You know, I'm quite impressed with the robustness so far of the players. You know, we've changed training, and sometimes the intensity, people pick up little things, you know, the training pitches as well. You know, this time of year can be quite bobbly because changing of seasons. So, you know, really, really happy that we've got a squad to pick from that we have.
Appreciate you're not one to single out individuals, but Glenn Morris made his 100th appearance for the club midweek. Sort of like a fine wine, gets better with age. He kind of, if you're looking for a role model, he's probably up there as the absolute consummate pro.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn's been there, done it, got the T-shirt, you know, in football, and I think he's 600 plus probably, and 100 for Gillingham, which is for any club, you know. Is a really good achievement. So, you know, to acknowledge that is the right thing to do, you know. He would have loved to win, I know that, you know, and he's, like I say, he's been brilliant. Since I walked in the door, you know, real calm, almost what you see on the pitch is what he is as a person, calmness and assuredness, you know, and he adds a good experience to that back line that we have, you know, quite young or middle 20s that... you know, they've got energy, they've got enthusiasm, they probably need a little bit of direction and leadership, and Glenn's that solid one behind them all. So, yeah, great for him, but I'm sure he's, like me, we'll be saying his career's nowhere near ended yet. Goalkeepers can go on for a long time, can't they? So he's definitely done well for me so far, and yeah, really pleased to be the manager when he made his 100th.
Tomorrow's opposition are currently 11th. Now, this comes as the Gillingham keeper has celebrated his 100th game for the club. Glenn Morris reached the milestone in Saturday's 1-1 draw at Colchester United at Priestfield.
I'm very proud to have got to that landmark. It feels like it's been quite a long time sort of coming. I was, you know, obviously my first spell, I didn't play too many and, you know, managed to get a few this time. But, yeah, very nice to have got there.
And a point on Tuesday night, probably should have been all three if truth be told, play. Really, really strong performance. The lads must have been disappointed, but also encouraged by the display.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, exactly it. You know, we was very, you know, happy with the intensity and the performance, that, you know, overall. But yeah, like you said, disappointed that we haven't got all 3 points. But yeah, then, you know, that's the way we want to play. That's the way we have to play. And you know, we got to back that up on Saturday. You know, it can't be a one off, or you know, in spells we've got to do that every, you know, week in, week out.
Yeah, the manager was keen to say, feet on the floor, it's one good performance, he's trying to build something, and it's now about sustaining that effort over a prolonged period of time. Has that been his message to you?
Yeah, no, from the moment he's come in, he said he wants, you know, to be on the front foot and, you know, get after teams and stamp our like authority on the game. And I think you could really see that on Tuesday. And, you know, it was a pleasure to play behind, to be honest. You know, for large spells of it, I felt, you know, I was sort of, you know, watching it probably the same as you, you know, behind, you know, trying to encourage. And it was, it was you know, brilliant to see. It's just a shame we couldn't get the win.
Staying with football, and the England's women's captain has praised Kent striker Alessia Russo for taking her game to another level this season. She scored 18 goals for Arsenal so far and also found the back of the net in the Lionesses Nations League draw with Portugal in February. They're playing Belgium in the competition. Tonight, Leah Williamson is backing Russo to make an impact.
Everyone will always say that how nice of a person Alessia is and how good of a person she is, and everybody wants her to succeed for that reason. But to be a number nine in any team, you do have to have, not arrogance, but that confidence about you. And I think we all want to see Les playing like she is.
Whitstable Town are just one game away from a trip to Wembley. They go into the second leg of their FA Vase semi-final against Hartbury University with a 2-0 advantage. Kick-off on Sunday is at 3. Cricket now, and it's Kent's first game of the new season. They've travelled to take on Northamptonshire in the county championship. New head coach Adam Holyoake will be hoping to get off to a winning start after taking over the role following the departure of Matt Walker. To ice hockey, and Kent's Invicta Dynamos are in semi-final action of the Southern League playoffs this weekend. They host Slough Jets at the ice rink in Gillingham tonight before travelling to face the same opposition tomorrow. Face-off later is at 5:45. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're there on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.